This episode has been brought to you. This issue has been brought to you by
USB microphones and headphones provided by CAD Audio. CAD Audio, expression through innovation.
This is Michael Cho, artist and illustrator, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best man.
With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan.
It's a big laugh.
It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what you need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
I have indeed been uploaded, sir. We're online and ready.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. This week it's a giant-sized issue because we are not on Sorcerer Radio. Because the station's kind of on a hiatus at the moment.
It's a vacation hiatus.
Ah. So, there we have it. So the voices you've been hearing, it's Mike, Kylan, and Ken. And I will say...
Ungawa, me, Eric, not Ken.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
It's been one of those weeks, hasn't it been?
It started last week when I released the show. And I get this great email. I'm going to share it. And,
oh, boy.
And it's totally my fault. It's totally my fault. Because I rushed. The email, this is from a listener named Bart. That's all I'm going to say because I'm going to protect him. I'm not giving the email. Twitter's one thing. Email, no. He goes, hello. I've been a fan of the show for a few months now since realizing Kylan was on the show. So you must be a geek. Do you know who we're talking about then?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay. Knowing very little about the Marvel canons, this show helps me keep up with how the comics connect with the MCU. See? Told you we're doing it wrong.
Hashtag is all connected.
Hashtag hyphenated for your protection. So he continues, I found problems listening to this week's episode. I could hear Mike and Kylan, which I'm assuming he meant Eric and Kylan, but only part of the time and felt like more people were in the conversation, but were inaudible. Okay, that was on me. Because when we record, I keep my track down so I don't hear myself.
Uh-huh.
And because it throws me off.
Right.
I rendered it. And forgot to pop my track back up to normal. Released the show with just you guys talking, and y'all are having a conversation with me that absolutely no one knew what was going on.
See, this is part of how the show was hyphenated for your protection.
So, if you guys are still experiencing that issue with last week's show, let me tell you how you fix the problem. Delete the episode you have. Re-download it. It's fixed.
Oh, my gosh.
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Say, I would totally blame Hydra for that one, but, you know.
You are not authorized to access this area.
That's just my mental.
Well, yeah, you know, things get a little crazy here as the above ground underwater suborbital volcano layer.
And on top of that,
right, congratulations.
And on top of that, I have no voice.
And I think we were all pretty punch drunk by the end of last week's episode.
Yes, I'm sure we were. Because we were recording later because I got stuck on a convention and yeah. It was a rushed night.
Yeah, we were working the graveyard shift here.
Yes, very much so.
I was going to say it was a rushed night, but I don't have Tom Sawyer queued up, so.
Oh.
That's all right. I like Limelight better. Or closer to the heart.
So.
See, See, now, did you guys ever watch Chuck? It was the NBC series about the guy that was like
The show, I just never watched it.
There's this one episode where one of his coworkers is obsessed with beating, Missile Command. He ends up finding out that the guy who created Missile Command, it was a Rush fan. So basically, the way to beat the game and to get to the secret level was to play it
while listening to Rush.
While listening to Tom Sawyer. Like, apparently, if you played the game in tune, in rhythm to Tom Sawyer, you would beat all the screens and get to the upper level. Yeah, it was. Now, whenever I listen to Tom Sawyer or Rush in general, I start thinking about classic video games now, so. Yeah, see?
Just matter of time.
There you go.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Still one of the greatest drum riffs in there.
Rush needs to make an appearance in the MCU. That's all
they really do.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, you know what? Rush would be perfect on the Awesome Mix.
Awesome Mix 2. Yeah.
Yes.
Awesome Mix 2. And Tom Sawyer may actually be one of the songs there. So.
That's true. You know what? I just realized I haven't gotten the Cosmic Mix yet.
I saw it at Target on CD, but I haven't picked it up yet. I need to.
Because
at the moment, that's the filming Guardians of the Galaxy 2. As a matter of fact, James Gunn put out on his Facebook page a concept art of how Stitch from Lilo and Stitch might look as realistically rendered alien in some kind of. He said flat out, it's not going to happen.
Oh,
showing up in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Man.
Oh, no.
But if you did, this would look cool.
Don't tease us like that.
You tease it, you bring it.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
So I'm kind of like, dude, and Stitch actually looks good. Looks like if you put it in the background, like a big background shot, I guarantee you 98% of people who watch this movie, they're not going to know who it is, and it's just going to go completely by.
You know what?
That's true.
As far as I'm concerned, you could do just like you did with Howard the Duck and credit scene.
There you go.
Ohana means family, and family means Star-Lord does not get left behind.
Oh! Oh, see, now I want to watch Lilo and Stitch. Thanks, guys.
All right.
And play some Elvis in the background, man.
There you go.
I love this this one tweet of his. The main thing I've learned from my last tweet is that many of you have formed a sort of religion around Dave Bautista's ass.
If that's the case, you have to call me an atheist.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no. Gamora, on the other hand, nasty.
Yeah, you know, that I could get on board with that religion.
Yeah. So, just saying.
So, I'm not seeing this on his page.
It's on his Facebook stream.
Oh, never mind then.
Yeah.
I thought you said Twitter.
No. Facebook.
Well,
never mind.
Mm-hmm. I may have said Twitter, but I was meaning Facebook.
Okay. So, we're going to have to start flooding him with hashtag GOTG2.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's all I'm saying.
We really should get him on the show.
I bet he would come on the show.
I bet he would. I bet he would. We could talk. We could talk Dave Bautista's butt cheeks. We could. I'd be willing to talk that.
Yeah.
If that's what he wants to talk about, if he comes on the show, I will happily talk Drax butt.
Yep.
How did I miss this? Oh my God!
What
you're seeing it, aren't you?
Oh hell yeah!
What
language? I'm sorry, I'm pulling the cap on you.
Did he just say language?
Yeah, he just said language. You need to go to James Gunn Facebook page. That's all I'm saying.
If you're listening to this,
hit pause so you can go check this out.
Go check out James Gunn on Facebook. We'll wait.
Okay, now that you're back from checking it out, say along with me, holy... You better make this happen, James Gunn.
Oh, my word.
Put him in the background. He doesn't have to have a speaking role, but you're going to have some kind of cantina scene. Put him in there, like listening to Elvis in the corner or something.
Bring him in the foreground and have him bump shoulders with Rocket. They stare at each other. He growls and then turns and walks away. Come on, I just wrote it.
Rocket versus Stitch. Good Lord, if that's not something that begs to be done.
Well, they're just walking down the street, and he bumps them. And the two just growl at each other and go their own way.
Yeah, kind of like him and Cosmo.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, dude.
You tease it. You got to make it happen now.
Oh.
I mean, I understand that CGI, but oh, my God.
And dude.
I want him with the orange suit and six arm and the second set of arms.
Oh, I would send... that's killing me. No,
you know, folks, we actually had a plan to what we were going to cover early on in the show, and of course, I have to be the catalyst of chaos and just like throw the monkey wrench right into it by mentioning this. But trust me, you go to his Facebook stream, you see the picture, you'll understand what we're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah, that is
It's time to start the new craze on Twitter. Hashtag make Stitch happen, GOTG2.
Rocket and Stitch.
Rocket and Stitch. That would just be...
Yeah.
You want this to happen. I know you do.
Okay.
There will be a lot of Marvel fanboys crying foul. There'll probably even be some Disney fans crying foul.
The exact quote of his post is, if Stitch were ever to appear in Guardians of the Galaxy, he'd probably look something like this. And no, that's not going to happen. Hyphen, but cool art, comma, huh? By Boris Kablicki. I haven't even opened comments to see what people have said.
Oh, you know there are going to be people saying, make it happen. There are going to be a lot of people saying, I hope it never happens.
Okay. I open up the comments for, it goes to this direct comment. Did you consider it, though? James Gunn, I did. No.
In credit scene, I think that'd be perfect, dude. That would be perfect.
There's more replies to this. Trying to see if there's someone asked why not. I don't even know if he replies back. Nah, he doesn't even reply back.
Well, I mean, there's probably several reasons why.
Dude, that's
someone said having Stitch as a new Guardian would be glorious. Can you imagine the Stitch Rocket scenes? I disagree there. He does not need to be a Guardian.
No.
He just needs to be in it. There needs to be an interaction, even brief in passing, between the two of them.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I will say that the thought of them being on the same team together, I mean, I would almost feel sorry for whoever they're going up against.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm sorry, it's got to happen. Okay. Yeah. We've digressed a lot. We have.
Our train of thought for the show has just come to a screaming, screeching, crashing halt.
Yeah, I'm... My voice is already mush. Now my brain's mush.
I'm like.
I just gotta say, this has got to happen. This has just got to happen.
I see now. I can't unsee this. I am now as obsessed with this as I am with the Howling Commandos series. I didn't need to see that. I really didn't.
Mission accomplished. God.
We had plans for a show, didn't we?
Yes, we had. As a matter of fact, Mike was going to talk about Marvel War of Heroes to start off the show.
You know what, Eric? you just need to be saying this.
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra!
Look, the very beginning of the show says it. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Got a condition. You know what? See, the thing is, James Gunn doesn't just throw stuff out there. See, okay, now my brain is going, like, you don't just throw that out there.
Yeah, but you know, this clip says it best.
Look, I'm sorry about that little show back there, but we thought it best to break it to you slowly.
that still didn't help.
Nope.
Okay, but no. I will break this to you slowly. I logged on to my my copy of Marvel War of Heroes, which is the card battle game by Marvel. And I saw this sunset announcement. I'm like, okay. Not realizing sunset, they're using it as a way of describing that the game's ending. They're sending it off to the sunset. So it makes sense now. And here's the announcement. Dear agents, we are deeply saddened to announce that we will sunset Marvel War of Heroes on May 31st, 2016. Purchases of in-game currency will be disabled on March 30th. All in-app purchases will be disabled on May 31st. So, yeah. Events will still run every fortnight until March 31st, 2016, after which there will be a final operation for all agents. Okay. We hope you have had an enjoyable and fruitful journey with us over the past 3 years. It's been our privilege and pleasure to bring these well-loved characters to life on your screens. So as the time runs out on our journey, we are busy preparing a few new features in appreciation of all your incredible support. As a start, we have released the Agent Portfolio, which serves as a record for all your achievements in Marvel War of Heroes. You will also be able to download your favorite cards as souvenirs. More details will be shared soon, but we wanted to give you ample notice in order that you may make the most of your coming months. Thank you for all the memories we have made together in Marvel War of Heroes. Signed, the Marvel War of Heroes team. I'm sorry, at this point in time, if you're at the end of March stopping all in-app purchases, coinage and all that, you might as well start making all the cards free. Let us go full tilt and give us a huge blowout.
Just let it go, just nuts, and you know.
Give me a chance to get cards that I wanted that I couldn't afford because I wasn't going to pay for in-app purchases.
There you go.
Well, at that point, why are you even bothering buying them in the first place?
I really wasn't.
No, I'm seeing why are you wanting to get them in the first place? I mean, if at that point in time, what's the point in getting them?
To say I had them.
Oh, okay.
Just like, why am I frustrated that at the moment on Marvel Future Fight, I'm stuck on the one achievement of upgrading 20 characters to 2-star when all my characters are already 2-star or above? And that achievement popped up after I was down to, like, needing one or two more characters. So I need to get 3 more, and I've got them all. So I got to wait for new characters to come out before I can do it.
I haven't played that much lately. I mean, I like the concept of the game, and, you know, I'm really loving Werewolf.
It's one of those, you can step away for a while, and it's not like you've lost anything. I mean, you might miss out on specials, like the Amadeus Chow. Amadeus Cho, but I mean, you can still get him through, I think, specials or something else, through special missions or a chance to get him with the when you buy your free when you get your free chest, hero chest.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he pops up in the blast or not blast, rage or whatever that is. It's the red, it's the red icon.
Fist,
yeah,
combat is it?
Combat, yeah,
yeah.
So, I mean, you can still get them there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm waiting to see what else is going to be popping up here eventually. And it's like, just as I get used to one look, they throw an update and completely change the look of it.
Yeah. I haven't gotten used to this new update yet.
And the thing I don't like about it is I go to my inventory. I want to do a mass use of like, the chips. Mm-hmm. No, I have to go character to character now and assign so many chips. I'm like, really? I can't do it all on one page now? That stinks.
And I don't understand why. It makes it, I don't know. I'm like you. I like to be able to go in and boom, distribute like I want to distribute and be done.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like, you know, you have to do it individually, well, no, on a character-by-character basis.
Yeah.
And that gets old real fast.
Yeah, it does. But, anyhow, Agent Carter. Let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah. Let's talk about our Agent Carter.
So this week's episode was titled Smoke and Mirrors. And includes some of the huge elements of it was Peggy's past. Her life before the SSR, her life before Steve Rogers, even before Camp Lee and Project Rebirth. At first, we see a flashback of Peggy is around 6 years old fighting off dragons in her backyard with her mom and her brother. This comes as no surprise, though, to anyone who has ever seen Peggy fight before. What did come as a surprise was the flash forward from Peggy being 6 to Peggy in her mid-20s, working as a code breaker at Belchy Park. Now, side note, Belchy Park was the focus of Benedict Cumberbatch's most recent film, The Imitation Game. It also played, of course, that played a huge part in, breaking the German codes during World War II. It was also mentioned in Agent Carter season 1 that Peggy had a history here at Belchy Park. So the flashback looked so meek. She looked so meek and so unassuming, but she was also so engaged. but she was engaged, but not to Captain Rogers. So throughout the flashbacks, it's revealed that she was invited to become part of Britain's World War II covert operations. She turned the job down to pursue her life as a future wife and mother. Peggy is even seen wearing her wedding dress. The wedding ends in tragedy as her brother is killed in action. It's this awful moment that Peggy decides to pursue becoming a spy, which we now know leads her right to old lover boy.
The SSR, yeah.
So in the gut-wrenching to know that Peggy has experienced so much loss in her life between Steve Rogers, her brother, Michael Carter. So we see her past, and then we fast forward to, we kind of skip over to the flashbacks of Agnes Cully, a.k.a. Whitney Frost. And, of course, the episode seems to establish some sort of parallel between them. Though Whitney comes from a much more humble background, both women were scolded for their unfeminine hobbies by their mothers and told to accept their lot in life as women and wives instead of overcoming society's prejudice to become something more. So this was definitely a women's suffrage episode, showing that they're, in many ways, a good episode for the girls out there. That now you could do whatever, you don't have to live in the conformity.
Well, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah,
even from the get go with Agent Carter.
Yeah. So, but unlike Peggy, Whitney was left to fend for herself. She didn't have the support of someone like a brother to push her to become a scientist and a star. The episode also covers a few critical moments of Whitney's childhood in Broxton, Oklahoma. In addition to revealing Whitney's early aptitude for science and her unwillingness to follow her mother's rules, the scenes, there's an Easter egg here. The name of the town sounds familiar because you might recognize it from Straczynski's and Copil's run on Thor, where Thor rebuilt Asgard just above Broxton following one of the Ragnarok events. It is unclear if this will stay an Easter egg, build into Dark Matter's mystical nature, or perhaps tease the events of Thor Ragnarok. Because I do believe when Thor Ragnarok comes out, Agent Carter might be in play. I'm trying to remember my list.
That'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Because isn't Peggy supposed to be dead by the time Ragnarok comes out?
Yeah.
I mean, don't we see her funeral in Civil War?
I believe we do. And right now, with the sheet that I have, unless someone's got an updated schedule, Thor Ragnarok comes out November 2017. So that's not going to be during... unless they somehow tie Broxton into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and maybe throw in a Agent Carter episode in the middle there to kind of as a flashback.
I think there's a very good chance of that happening. Because
I don't see why Marvel Studios just doesn't hire us to come up with some of these plot lines for them.
That would just be too easy. But
more affordable.
Seriously, though, think about this. Where have you seen Asgard show up outside of Thor movies?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Exactly. So if there's going to be any Asgardian tie-ins outside of the Thor movie, it's likely going to be in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, there is a relationship there, so there is a very, very real chance that you'll see Asgard, that you'll see a S.H.I.E.L.D. tie-in.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, I think very much so.
And if that's the case, how cool would it be to have Hemsworth come in as Thor himself, and you finally see what happens when an Avenger finds out that Coulson is alive?
Yeah, but you know, technically, it should already happen. Have already happened with Lady Sif.
Yeah, but he told her, "Don't you know?" He told her, "I'd like for them to not know." Basically, I want to keep this a secret.
Yeah. Yeah, but at this point in time, he's already sending out orders as director. Unless Mara Hill is being the voice.
Maria Hill is the one that did. He's the one that told Maria it's time to send in the Avengers.
Yeah, so she's acting as his voice.
Yeah.
So I guess they can still keep it secret with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but any more of those drunken parties and...
Yeah. Excelsior!
Yeah.
You know, those Asgardians, I think that we need more Asgardians. I think we do. I think we need more Lady Sif.
We'll definitely need more Lady Sif.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
That's okay. I'll even We can go with the Warriors 3. We can go with... Hey, we can even go with the Berserker.
That's true.
Trying to find it. That's why I get forgot being taking asteroids. How stupid of me, right? Oh, come on. Don't tell me I don't have it.
We could. So, we could, you know...
Is this going to happen?
The ladies love Loki.
Someone, they might say.
You know?
I totally forgot there's this long... Yeah. The actual song, there's a long Q&A. So we'll take care of that. We're going to just fast forward.
Such as?
Nice little segue there, right? So, if you know the song and you know that what that word was before I cut it off, then you might know what character we might be talking about next.
Aw, there you go. Very nice little segue.
And what character are we talking about next, Mike?
You mean Mr. Frank Castle himself, the Punisher?
Well, it's because we had a plan. We had a plan, but we got kind of sidetracked.
So we don't mean Mr. Frank Castle this time.
No, we don't mean Frank Castle. We actually mean Patsy Walker.
Ah,
yes. Yeah, there you go. Hellcat, you mean. Okay. Oh, I got you. Well, for those of you who don't know, there is a character on Marvel's Jessica Jones, the Netflix series, Patsy Walker, who in the comics is also known as the superheroine Hellcat. The actress who plays Patsy, actually Trish is her name on the series, but Patsy is short for Patricia, and so is Trish. So there you go. She is well aware of the potential of her character turning into another superhero, but she seems to be kind of guarded about it, optimistic but only cautiously so.
Mm-hmm.
When she was talking to a group of reporters, as reported on from Comic Book Resources, she said, "You don't want to count your eggs before they hatch." And which, by the way, Jessica Jones did get renewed for a second season, which we knew, we figured would happen,
right?
Because it's good. It's good. It's dark as all get out, but it's good.
Mm-hmm.
She goes on to say, quote, "I already feel like I have more than my share in a way being on Netflix, being in the Marvel Universe, being in this show that has resonated so deeply with people. But of course, I mean, it would be amazing. I mean, it's already a privilege to play a history that has so much lineage within the Marvel Universe, and to take it that one step further is something that, yeah, I'd love to get my teeth stuck into whatever happens to the character." So you never know. It may happen. It may not happen. It may not happen at all that the Marvel live action community will ever, you know, take her into the role of Hellcat. You know, because in the comics, she even returned from the dead with psychic powers. So it's probably they'll probably never go that far with her.
No,
but you know, there are already signs that she could be a future crime fighter.
Well, you know, I'm a fan of the costume vigilante. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, just the highly trained, non-superpowered human that goes out and adventures or whatever, or what have you. And I think it'll be cool to see. I think that's one of the things I really liked about Hellcat before she got superpowers, you know, per se. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be cool to see them do that with her. Yeah. I mean, they hint at it.
I mean, she goes through combat training and she starts taking these stimulant pills to you know, to join the fight.
That's true.
That's a possibility. As you know, she goes on to say, "quote I think the gesture of taking the pill was about. I think for Trish, part of her shadow personality is there's a certain covetous part of her. I think she covets some of the things that Jessica has. I think there is an unholy ambition that sits just under the surface."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, she's known to be a member.
Yeah.
So
yeah. that was my introduction to her, was as a defender.
Well, you can kind of continue this story on and on a little bit, like just hints of the effects that the pills are having on her. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can hint this. Yeah. Right. I think that would be perfect. Everything's connected. Yeah.
Yep.
We're not cheap, but we can to be had. Oh, who am I kidding? Yes, we are.
Yeah. No. If we must.
Well, we'd be willing to work from home, but you know. Yeah. See? Yeah. See? You know, it saved the office space and saved you having to do the moving fees. Yeah.
Oh, my. That's true, too. No.
Not that we have anything against California. Well, there you go. Yeah.
I'm a North Coast kind of guy, and I know that. So.
A North Coast?
Yeah.
Okay.
East
Coast, West Coast, Gulf Course, North Coast. I see
this. There
you go.
See?
Not really, but I'm just humoring you at this point. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. So with season 2 coming up, and everybody know, we all know that Punisher is going to figure heavily in the series. He's going to be the antagonist this time around. Well, Jon Bernthal was in an interview with IGN talking about playing the character, and he says, and I quote, "I think this guy lives in a world of darkness that no other person in this universe can compare with. My goal here was to put myself in that darkness and bring that up, and to never pull punches, to never do half measures, to never be apologetic, to never pursue likability at all, to be completely unapologetic at all times." And, you know, for those of us who know the character, that's Frank Castle. You know, he's a true believer in his crusade and his fight, and either you're with him or you're against him, and that's it. And I can honestly see Jon Bernthal. Well, when I first heard that Jon Bernthal had been cast as the Punisher, it was the most logical decision. I couldn't imagine anybody else. You know, I mean, the movie versions, you know, they had their strong points. You know, yep. Depending on who. Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost become a cliche at this point.
Yes.
I mean, he could do it. Yeah.
But, you know, Bernthal, especially his, was it season 2 of The Walking Dead? Was that his last season? It may have been the second season. The guy has become, you know, his character became so unhinged at that point that, you know, you could tell that this was a guy that on one side, you wanted him on your team because, you know, he was willing to do whatever it took to survive. But on the other side, you weren't sure exactly how far was he willing to go to get what he wanted. And did you want that person on your team? Did you want that person that close to you, you know, and you weren't able to keep your eye on him at all times? But that was just the character that Bernthal was playing. And I'm not saying that it's going to be the same character. It's not. There's a different kind of focus to Frank Castle. But I believe that Bernthal gets it. I believe that that's what we're going to see going from the printed page to the big screen. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
I would agree. At his core, the Punisher does not try to be like him. As a matter of fact, I think he strives for the opposite because... He definitely subscribes to the theory of it's better to be feared than loved.
Right. Well, and actually, here's something that Bernthal pretty much says to that point. You can lose the audience by episode two. They could just be like, no matter what happens with this man, no matter what we learn about him, his actions in episode one and two, I can't get behind. In this day and age, with everything going on, I can't get behind this man. I love that because my goal and the team's goal is to win them back and explain it and fill in the blanks and whether you can get behind him or not, you'll understand him.
I think that's a great take to have on it. I mean, you have to understand why he does why he does.
Yes, you do. And, you know, considering the character, his origins were inspired by some of the pulpy men's adventure characters from the 70s. It's easy. Yeah. Well, rejected S.H.I.E.L.D. stories. I mean, this guy obviously has some Mac Bolan influences as well and that sort of thing. And it's easy for this character to become irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's easy. I mean, because, he started off fighting against the mafia, and I think at one point in the 80s all of a sudden he kind of has this whole ninja thing going on, but for some weird reason it still worked with him. I have I won't say a love-hate relationship with the Punisher. I mean, because I get the character, understand why he does what he does. He's a very complicated character. Mm-hmm. And especially when Garth Ennis got a hold to him, that character, he wasn't just dark for the sake of being dark.
No.
Which was so easy to do in the 90s. Dark was the thing. But yeah. There's layers to Frank Castle. And I believe that Bernthal can bring that out. And I'm looking forward to seeing that in season two. I don't expect to like the Punisher. I really don't. But at the same time, I can understand why he exists in the world that he's in. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me just clarify what I heard on this end. You said they went apathetic. That's not what the word actually said, was it? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Because I was just like, apathetic. Wait, that word isn't apathetic. Oh, it's that word. A poop. Gotcha. There you go. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And I'm looking at this right now. We're talking about Steve Rogers. And we're looking at all his friends. You see Hawkeye, Thor, Falcon. And you see their adventures. Everything from World War II to the Avengers and, the various things that they've all done together. And if you guys have seen any of these videos, they kind of all kind of come out the same. And there's like little, do you remember this? And how about this? Right? Mm-hmm. And then, it all builds up until we get to the final picture, which is Steve and Tony. And then somebody grabs the picture of Steve and Tony and rips it in half and then lays them apart and then says Happy Friends Day at the end. You know what? I just got finished. I can't tell you how many times I've watched this video and I got the goosebumps. I got the feels watching that because I don't know. Well, here's the thing. And I was having this conversation with some friends and they were saying, Steve is Bucky's friend and Steve is Sam's friend, but, you know, does Tony actually understand friendship, or does he have that more of that Hollywood concept of friendship? I said, you know, okay, true. Tony can be kind of shallow, and maybe Tony doesn't really understand what being a friend really means, but at the same time, he looks up to Steve.
And he won't admit it, but he does.
He does. Steve is sort of like his moral compass, because we know that Tony doesn't really have one. Okay. I'll just say he really doesn't have one. Outside of Rhodey, but Rhodey is too busy being in the Air Force to really put up with a lot of Tony stuff. And so, you know, when Tony all of a sudden realizes that he and Steve are on opposite sides of this major issue, I'm sorry, you know, I think Civil War is going to be a hard movie to watch. That's all I have to say. It's going to be a hard movie to watch.
Well, what Tony needs to do is just have a Coke and a smile.
Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, my.
You did. You
he
said
did.
That.
He did. Oh.
Well, you know what? If he's going to do that, then Coke has the perfect product for it. Marvel and Coca-Cola have teamed up for a Super Bowl commercial, and news outlets have received these promotional items. Well, yeah. You know, I'm sure it's got lost in the mail somewhere. A six-pack of Coke cans that are Avengers-themed. They've got stylized portraits of Falcon, Black Widow, Ant-Man, Iron Man, Captain America, and Hulk. You know, there's one slight thing. Hulk is not supposed to be in Civil War.
Oh, that's right.
But otherwise, it's a five-pack, and you just can't have a five-pack.
Hmm.
But along with the cans, a note was enclosed with a box. It just had the date of the Super Bowl, which is Sunday, February 7th, on the day that you will be listening to this. Also has underneath it the words, "The big game is just the beginning. Follow at Coca-Cola to watch the story unfold." So you know there's going to be a killer Civil War commercial.
It's going to be epic.
Now, according to Adweek, this Super Bowl spot will be a 60-second commercial, and it should air sometime during the second quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's bad. That's big money right there.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a 60-second commercial, not a 30-second. Uh-huh. Now, just in case you're wondering, you also have Disney promising a Jungle Book trailer during the Super Bowl. And there's also rumors that Paramount will be airing a trailer for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. I will say this much. We saw, my son and I, when we went to The Force Awakens, we saw the trailer for the new Turtles movie. And it's actually got me wanting to watch the first one. I have thus far boycotted any Michael Bay Turtles movie, but this one has me wanting to watch the first one.
See, I'll be honest with you, because Ken, you know, my partner over at Geek Watch One.
You sure you don't mean me?
I'm sure I don't mean you.
Okay.
Ken swore up and down that we would enjoy this movie, that it was fun, that it was blah, blah, blah. And no, I watched the first one, and I love the Turtles. I love their comic origins. Mm-hmm. I love the animated versions, although they're completely different. I don't care. It's cool. I like it. But I saw the movie, and I was done. I was like, I just don't care. Now, the thing is, Stephen Amell is making me want to watch this one. But other than that, I'm not really jazzed about it.
At this point, it's curiosity for me. The curiosity is getting the better of me.
Right. You know, and the worst that happens is, you know, you saw a movie that you didn't really enjoy. It's not terrible. It's not the worst thing in the world.
It's not just like I'm going out and paying $10 to go see it.
Right. It's still better than Fantastic Flop.
Well, watching a blank screen is better than watching Fantastic Flop.
Okay. Before we move on to our next topic, it might seem like, half my voice was missing in this. Because it was. We discovered a glitch. I think it might have been DC trying to interfere this time because they think Batman Heart Superman is going to be better than Civil War. Joke's on you. It's hit and miss, but it's okay. We're fine with it. We talked it over. No need to try and do a take two and make it a life model decoy. It's what happens when people go ape poop. And the sad part is, you guys aren't going to understand why we said people went ape poop. Well, you know what? I can say it. Josh Brolin was on the Conan show, and he said while researching, he went to a comic book store, and everyone in the comic book store went ape poop because they're like, Thanos, it's Thanos. So, how was that? Oh, Josh ape Brolin. Poop. So, although
when Mike said it the first time around, he didn't quite read it right. So he said they went apathetic, and I'm thinking apathetic.
I'm like, they didn't say apathetic.
It started off with ape.
It might as well have been. So, we did last week, what, top five Marvel Star Wars moments?
Yes, we did.
And it kind of tied in some Dark Horse issues, since those issues are under the control now of Marvel. Well, this week we've got top five Marvel acronyms. You've heard us use them. It's sort of like in the Disney world itself. Acronyms are all over the place, or shortened versions of things. So, like, biggest acronym I could think of for Disney is TOTS. Do you guys know what TOTS is?
Yeah, they're the little, like, hash brown French fries that you get at Sonic.
Acronym.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Hungry. Got the munchies.
TOTS. TOTS would be Theater of the Stars.
Ah.
Where Hunchback is.
Now, see, I would think that the biggest Disney acronym would be EPCOT, Excruciating Polyester Costumes of Torment. Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
Every paycheck comes on Thursday.
Okay, that works.
Every person comes out tired. B&B is another acronym. And, of course, is Beauty and the Beast. DAC, Disney's Animal Kingdom. DTD, which is now DS, Downtown Disney, now Disney Springs. MK is Magic Kingdom.
DHS,
not Hollywood Studios.
Department of Health and Services, or Disney's Hollywood Studios. Yep. Soon to be changed again.
VOLM, Voyage of the Little Mermaid.
Oh, there you go.
Ah.
And of course, there's other Disney E's in the entertainment side. You got Epic, which is Indiana Jones, Epic Stuntman Spectacular. Another one, LMA.
Lights, Motors, Action.
Going away in April.
Yes, it is.
So the acronyms are out there, of course.
Yeah.
We also know the DOD, the FBI, CIA.
KGB. Oh, I'm sorry.
And then the most famous use of acronyms, which was from a then Disney-owned company. Good Morning Vietnam, Robin Williams with his whole...
Okay, let's see if I can remember it. Since the VP is such a VIP, shouldn't the PC be kept on the QT? Because if the VC find out about the PC's PC, the VP could wind up MIA and we'd all be put on KP.
Yeah.
I might have watched that movie a couple of times.
So, in Marvel, we got a bunch of acronyms. This came from comic book resources. They might be our source for quite a few Marvel top five lists. They're honorable mention. And there's three honorable mentions with acronyms. There's HATE, which is a high anti-terrorism effort, although HATE is awesome. You have BAD, Black Mamba, ASP, and Diamondback.
So wouldn't that be B-MAD instead of BAD?
I would think so, but they're bad girls anyway. So
yeah.
SWORD, Sentinel World Observation and Response Department. So in the number five spot, we have Ultimatum, which is underground, liberated, totally integrated mobile army to unite mankind. Yeah, it's an ultimatum.
Yeah, there you go. That's not bad.
That was apparently Flag Smashers Group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks like it, what happens if you give Space Ghost a mace. That's what Flag Smasher looks like.
Yeah. Well, you know how Space Ghost came around?
Oh, no.
Batman got his ears clipped.
Oh.
Too soon? In the number 4 spot is AIM, which stands for Advanced Idea Mechanics.
Now, see, that's my personal favorite right there, just because it doesn't feel forced, like Ultimatum.
Yeah.
That is something, it sounds like a realistic company acronym. It really does.
Now, in the, this AIM is one of the longest running villain groups in Marvel history. They recently spun off RAID. Which stands for Radically Advanced Ideas and Destruction. In number 3, we have Herbie, first introduced in the TV show.
Yeah.
Humanoid experimental robot B-type integrated electronics. Of course.
Not a big fan of Herbie.
Yeah, no. No, it only came about because Marvel didn't have the rights to the Human Torch for the TV series, for the cartoon. In the number 2 spot is S.H.I.E.L.D., which they're using Strategic Hazard Intervention Espionage Logistics Directorate,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which was the original name. Of course, now the newer name is slightly more cooler, Supreme Headquarters International Espionage Law Enforcement Division. And then if you go with the film, it's Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics.
Now, see, that makes more sense than the Supreme Headquarters International Espionage Law Enforcement Division. It really does.
Yeah, yeah. And the number 1 acronym is MODOK. Who knew? Who knew? Which is Mental Organism Designed Only for Killing. So, there's some debate whether it's mental or mobile, but MODOK was originally meant for computing, not killing. In either event, it stands for something way cooler than what S.H.I.E.L.D. stands for.
Well, that's like their opinion, man.
That is their opinion. So,
well, he's definitely mental.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you what's also going to be mental is the Michael Cho Captain America covers.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. And I think Kylan's got that story for us.
Oh, I believe I do. Michael Cho. No, Michael Cho is a friend of the show.
Oh, he's a great
show, Michael Cho.
That was a great episode.
I swear I didn't mean to make that rhyme.
Sure you
did. And we got a little bit of the inside scoop on what it was like for him for what he could share about, working on all these alternate covers that he got to do. And so it's going to be awesome because, I mean, he goes from creating the alternate covers that we were going to, I think they're coming out in March.
I think so.
But, he gets tapped to do the variant covers for Civil War II. And the story is on comicbooknews.com.
Yep.
And, wow. That's all I can say. I mean, this guy, I don't know if they just wind him up and let him go. But like right here, I'm looking at the alternate cover for
Invincible Iron Man.
Invincible Iron Man.
Which comes out next month, yeah.
And, the thing is, this guy is amazing. He truly has a gift. For what they have planned for Civil War II, we can only expect to see even more. And probably, bigger and better. That's all I can say. I mean, because Civil War itself is going to be huge.
Yeah.
Civil War II is going to be huge. So
yeah. Now, see, I really like his styles, particularly on this Invincible Iron Man cover. It's got a real retro feel to it.
It does.
I mean, it almost looks like it's part of the opening titles from a 1960s spy movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, like the old classic Bond movies or like like the detective show.
Yeah, yeah.
Which one was that? A Hawaiian Eye. I don't know if you it has that, like I said, that cool 60s.
I look at this cover and I almost hear like an old 60s theme song, almost like the theme to The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yes.
or Mission Impossible.
Yes.
Or, you know, just something like that with a lot of brass, a lot of, you know, a lot of bass. And I love this style.
Oh, wait,
no.
It's 60s.
That's not 60s. That's 70s.
That's 70s.
Too much waka chicka in that.
And it makes me want to grow an afro. But okay, so the cool thing is we're going to get our first glimpse of Civil War II in a prelude story written by Brian Michael Bendis and illustrated by Jim Chung, released as part of one of Marvel's two offerings for this year's Free Comic Book Day, May 7th. So Civil War number 0 is scheduled for release in May also. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure that this is just the beginning. You know, there's going to be a lot of build up to this. And especially with all of the changes that have been made in the Marvel Universe within the past 6-7 months.
Yeah.
You know, and I wonder if this is how we're going to see Steve Rogers return. I don't know.
Well, I thought that's what the other book was on New Comic Book Day was Steve Rogers, Captain America, number 0.
Yeah.
You know, I might have to take that day off because I actually work on Saturdays now. I might have to take that day off.
I might be getting sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I have the one day flu.
Well, I'll tell you something that kind of made me sick. Frank Thierry has confirmed on Facebook that Black Knight ends next month with issue 5. Marvel declined to comment when being reached by comic book resources. It says, it sucks, and there's a lot I could say about it, but in the end, the bottom line is the market is what it is these days, and the sales just weren't there. It was an honor and privilege to bring Dane's adventures in Weird World to you. And we're not quite done yet, as we'll be wrapping up our storyline, which can actually act as a limited series by the way it's structured.
Well, you know, the thing is, I think it was daring for them to try and make a series, try to get Black Knight to carry a series. I was surprised. I mean, that was a bold move. I couldn't see him carrying, but that was just because the character just, I don't know.
Well,
he's not really my taste, so, you know.
We just had Tom Hodges, known Lucasfilm freelance artist over on Weeby Geeks this week, and he's starting up his own comic company, and his concept right now is kind of almost going back to the early days of Marvel, and he's almost doing a Marvel Cinematic Universe feel in comics. His comics, it's Antis Presents, or Antis Comics Presents, and then it's going to be 3 issues of one character. Then the next 3 issues will be a different character. Another 3 issues of another character. Maybe a group thing. And then continue on. And then he's going to do a web series of characters that you're not going to see in the comics, in the physical copies. So sort of like the movies meets. And then the web series is going to be like the TV series. And part of his reasoning behind this is, and I think it's true with a lot of the companies, DC's dropping from, what, 52 to under 50 when they relaunch here in the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel has reduced some of theirs, but still, there's a buttload of titles out there.
There are.
I mean, at one point with the Avengers, there was, what, 6 or 7 different Avengers titles?
Right.
Yeah.
All out at once. I mean, Avengers Arena, Undercover Avengers, Avengers World, New Avengers, Uncanny Avengers, Avengers.
A-Force?
Yeah, A-Force.
Count that as A-Force. An Avengers?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, pre-Secret Wars. A-Force wasn't out.
Right.
But, I mean, still 6 titles. I mean, how many X-Men titles do we need?
DC was makes the same mistake that it always makes. You ended up with, like, a ton of Bat books. You end up with Batman, and then you had Nightwing, which became Grayson. Still a Bat book. Yeah, Robin. And then you had Batman Incorporated. Red Hood.
Batgirl.
You know, Batgirl.
Batman and Robin. Detective. Gotham Knight. Batman Gotham Knights. I mean, that right there is 9 titles for one character.
Oh, and Harley and Harley and Ivy.
Yeah.
Technically, that's a Bat book.
Technically, yeah.
Well, if you want to do that, then you also got Batwoman and Catwoman, too.
See,
so we're talking 11 titles in the Batman family.
You know, and I mean, and how many times in the 90s did Marvel clean the slate? Okay, we're going to knock it back to just 2 X-books, and that's going to be it. And then you end up within a year. You ended up with like 15,000 X-books again.
Yeah, but they didn't. It was never a relaunch. It was, okay, this side story or these side missions are done. Now back to the normal team.
Right.
And then new books
came
out.
That's true, too.
Whereas,
that is true.
I mean, this is the first time after here at the end of Secret Wars. It's the first time, really, that Marvel has rebooted the Marvel Universe.
That's true.
To some extent, so.
I will share what the owner of a company that I previously worked for said. And it was, he had the right take on it. He said, if you're succeeding with everything you do, you're not doing near enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Black Knight as being part of that. Yes, you do want to be successful, but every once in a while, you've got to go out on a limb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you've got to take a risk. And putting Black Knight out there was a risk.
Yeah.
So okay. So what if it didn't succeed on its own? You can take that storyline. You can take what you've done here and bring it into another story. Like, you know, bring him back into the Avengers,
mm-hmm,
as a secondary character. But you can build off what you have, you know, covered in those 5 issues.
Well, I mean, that's what happened with Moon Knight. I mean, the early 70s, Moon Knight, they decided that he couldn't really carry his own title. And then he started popping up everywhere. And now, okay, true, it took us 10, 15 years to get there. But all of a sudden, we can't get enough Moon Knight. And I think Black Knight, you know, who knows? Black Knight, maybe it will take him being a strong secondary character in some books.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Well, talking about books, Eric, I think you've got our book of the month pick.
I do.
Book club pick
book
for this month.
Book of the month from February 2016. Unlimited pick. You can find this in Marvel Unlimited. It is Star Wars Heir to the Empire #1. Now, technically, this is one that was originally published under the Dark Horse banner, and you can still find it over at Dark Horse.
No. Not only if you bought it.
Only if you bought it. Okay.
Will you find it in your library? You will not find any of the Star Wars titles on the Dark Horse digital comic store.
Okay. My mistake then. I was thinking otherwise. But anyway, you can find it in Marvel Unlimited, and that's why we're bringing it up. Now, this is a comic book adaptation of the novel Heir to the Empire by Timothy Zahn, who I had the pleasure of meeting back in 2013. Wonderful guy. I actually bought this, the novel, and in paperback form, got him to autograph it and gave it to my son as a Christmas present. And hopefully one of these days before I retire off to a life of ease, he'll actually have read it by then. So that way I can read it again.
There you go. You know, I met his son at Gen Con, Timothy, really nice guy.
I was hoping to get to meet
the dad, you know, but yeah.
So this was published in October of 1995. Written by Mike Barron, artist being Matthew Lefray and Oliver Vatine and Ellie DeVille. So basically the whole storyline is that 5 years after Return of the Jedi, Han and Leia are married and they are expecting twins. Luke Skywalker has become the first in a long-awaited line of Jedi Knights. However, thousands of light years away, the last of the Empire's warlords, a gentleman by the name of Grand Admiral Thrawn, who may actually be making an appearance in Star Wars Rebels.
Yep.
That is the rumor. He has taken command of the remnants of the Imperial fleet. He has made two vital discoveries that could destroy the Rebel Alliance's New Republic. Now, this is issue number one of a six-issue limited series that that basically is the adaptation of Heir to the Empire. It is followed up by Dark Force Rising and The Last Command. Really, I can only get away with choosing one of these because, you know, before we started the show, I asked the guys about it, and they said, no, that's way too much. But if you're feeling adventurous, I would also recommend reading the other five. Reading the entire six would be fun.
Yeah.
If you're really getting into it.
But we're going to talk about the first one at the end of the
month. We're going to talk about the first one only. So that is this week's Marvel Unlimited pick and this month's book club.
Cool. Awesome pick. Because I think we were just talking about it last week.
We were talking about Dark Empire, definitely.
Yeah. So
yeah, I forgot that this had gotten a comic adaptation. Yeah. So sweet.
Well, that leaves only one thing left for the night, and that is and that would be new comic book day pick of the week. And this is going to be for Wednesday, February 10th. And, you know, it's rare that I start it off, but I'm going to start it off this week.
Go for it.
Start it off.
And my first pick of the week is Darth Vader number 16. New story arc. So it could be a new, if you haven't read it before this, might be a new jumping on point for you because you're coming into a brand new story arc. The planet Shu-Torin, introduced in the Darth Vader annual, is revolting. Darth Vader is tasked with leading a military assault. Has Vader's rise to glory begun? And I cannot say enough about the Darth Vader series.
Yeah, that's a really good series.
If anyone had to ask me what Star Wars books is a must read, Jason Aaron's Star Wars and Gillian's Darth Vader must reads.
I'll agree with that.
Kanan started off that way, and then I felt like I was getting lost in it. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping if Poe Dameron does become an ongoing series, I'm hoping it goes that way as well.
Oh, yeah.
But the minis have been amazing, too. But, you know, Vader and Star Wars. And I wasn't that keen on the Vader stories when Dark Horse had them. So I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know what's changed, but I'm digging this.
There you go.
So how about Eric? We go next to you.
My first pick of the week is a number three. It is Red Wolf number three, written by Nathan Edmondson.
He don't need no stinking badges.
Red Wolf's got no ID and no jurisdiction, so long as Deputy Ortiz thinks he's a civilian and a nut. But it could be her town needs a lawman like Red Wolf. Someone to track adversaries that run and to face those that hide, coiled up in the dark. Because the mysterious Bly's gang is tightening its grip on Santa Rosa with explosive results.
Man, sounds like a blast. Yeah, I did it again. I know.
Oh my God.
You did.
Just so like plenty. Britney. Just like Britney.
Oh, yes, you did. Oh my God.
So, Kylan, your number one pick for the week.
My number one pick is a number two, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number two. The writer is Mark Guggenheim. Penciler is German Peralta. The good news for Phil Coulson is that he has been reunited with his former love, Lola, who it turns out is not a flying car. The bad news is that she turned his mind into a weapon that could destroy the Marvel Universe.
I was afraid you were going to say she turned him. She wasn't a girl, but she was a man.
Hello, L.A. Lola. Yeah. Yes, yes. No.
Yeah, it has a certain knack to it. No, that wasn't the knack. That was the kinks.
That was a kink.
That's the only kind of a kink in your comments and then having it.
Yeah.
See? That's it. Uh-huh.
Sad part is I caught my own mistake just that quick.
You self-reported. That's good. That's good.
Admire you, sir.
So, I guess on to number twos. And my number two pick is actually number three. And I went with Totally Awesome Hulk number three. Writer is Greg Pak. Penciler is Frank Cho. Prepare to meet your foom. Amadeus is on the hunt for the biggest, greenest, baddest monster on the block, besides himself, of course, and an unlikely ally lends a hand.
Foom! Okay, foom for him, too.
And no, that was not the sound drops. Even though I almost panicked going, did I hit them? Because I do have.
Boom! Okay, doom for him too.
Oh my gosh.
There you go.
So that's here we go. Scary. Now's your chance, Eric, to alter this one.
Wow, if I had a nickel for every time I was doomed by a puppet, I'd have 2 nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice, right?
Okay, now that I've got the pressure to perform, I'll think I can do it. So, but I can tell you that my number 2 pick for the week is actually a number 5, and that is Guardians of the Galaxy number 5, written by Brian Michael Bendis, with cover artist the one, the only, the great Arthur Adams. Last raccoon standing, the Guardians face their toughest battle ever, and they aren't going to make it out the same way they came in.
Okay, you know, and before Kylan moves on, I totally forgot about this sound drop earlier when we were talking about acronyms.
This is Director Nick Fury of S-H-I-E-L-D.
That's S.H.I.E.L.D. It's an acronym.
Oh, like AUKA.
Yes, except it's cool.
What is that from?
That is from Phineas and Ferb Mission Marvel.
Marvel. Yeah.
Didn't they? I think they played that last weekend and I missed it.
You should catch it sometime because it actually is, it's fun.
It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's not Star Wars. It's not the Star Wars Phineas Ferb good, but it's okay. Good. It's good.
Okay. It's good.
Cool. So, Kylan, your number 2 pick.
My number 2 pick is a number 4. Ms. Marvel number 4, as a matter of fact. The Hugo Award-winning series kicks off its next big adventure. It's a strange new world for Ms. Marvel. Being an Avenger and a regular teenager isn't as awesome as you thought it would be. But that won't stop Kamala. She might just need a little help from her friends. A new storyline starts here. Sounds like a great jumping on point for anybody who, you know, if you're looking for a new book, or if this is a series that you seem, you know, that you're kind of interested in, now's the time to jump in on it. Number 4 is the one to go with.
Cool. Well, deal. My number 3 pick is, I chose this for a purpose because I want, let's get the word out there and let's prove Marvel made a bad choice. My number 3 pick is Black Knight number 4. Of course, okay. Writer is Frank Thierry. The fate of the Black Knight and the Ebony Blade revealed. Who will end up with the blade? Dane Whitman, the Avengers, or someone else entirely? The answer will surprise you.
I will wind up with the Ebony Blade.
Yeah, I end up with the Ebony Blade.
Well, we could timeshare it.
Okay, we could do that.
Yeah.
But let's get the numbers up on this book, because this is a great series. This isn't the first time this book's been picked by us at all on the show. So
that's true.
Your final pick, Eric.
My third pick is a number 7. It is Deadpool number 7. I'm almost kind of surprised that, Mike, you didn't pick this. 25 years ago, in February 1991, the New Mutants encountered a blabbermouth mercenary who tore through Xavier's mansion and into the very heart of the 1990s. Now, that same self-degenerate is one of the most popular heroes in the world, an Avenger, and maybe the smelliest and grossest person that Tumblr swoons over. Come see how Deadpool reacts to life at the top of the world. Hint, he does not handle it well. Plus, a full array of stories from Deadpool's new allies, the members of the Mercs for Money. Oh, and I think there is, like, some other Deadpool thing this month people are excited about. I forget what. That, of course, would be...
Gwenpool.
Yeah, Gwenpool. Yeah, that's it.
There you go.
Yeah, it would have absolutely nothing to do about a movie premiering this coming weekend.
No.
Starring Green Lantern.
Oh. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know. You know, at least the suit isn't green this time.
Or animated.
Or animated. Ugh.
Hey, so, I wonder if they'll come out with a PG-13 cut of it.
Oh, I'm hearing the Blu-ray is going to be even worse.
Mm. Oh, I can't
wait. Especially if they release an uncut, director's cut, unedited, whatever.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, definitely not PG-13.
Wow. So,
the DVD menu might be PG-13.
Maybe.
That's about as far as it'll get.
Yeah, no.
Maybe. The UPC code on the back will be PG-13.
There you go, the barcode.
So
that's it. Anything else? You know, sorry. Yeah.
So Kylan, your third pick.
My third pick is Old Man Logan number 2. The writer is Jeff Lemire and penciler is Andrea Sorrentino. For Old Man Logan, home is a wasteland in the distant future. One overridden by hillbilly hulks who extort and torture civilians for fun. But now, mysteriously finding himself in the present, Logan is hellbent on preventing the future, that future from coming to pass. And the best way to keep the Hulk population from surging in the future is to eliminate them all together in the present, starting with Amadeus Cho, the totally awesome Hulk.
Interesting.
So, did I actually hear you use the words hillbilly hulks?
Yes. Hulk
smash!
It's a Kentucky and Arkansas branch of the Hulk family.
Oh my gosh, hillbilly hulks. No.
No. Hulk's gonna whip your butt.
I can't believe I just read that. I'm picturing a Hulk walking around with a NASCAR hat.
Okay. It's probably going to be more like, what is it? Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, my.
Run. Now.
See? Maybe if I throw a steak at him while I'm running, maybe that'll help. I don't know.
Corn dog.
Corn dog.
Fried Snickers.
Oh,
funnel cake.
A little Debbie cream pie.
Moon pie.
Moon pie. There
you
go.
2 liter of RC.
Oh.
Maybe a little Dr. Thunder.
The Walmart version of Dr. Pepper. Yes, that'll work.
Yes, that'll do it. Yes.
So, any final thoughts for the week?
I think we've had enough thoughts. Thank you.
Well, we've had enough of a lot of things tonight.
Yeah. Hillbilly hulks going
in. Yeah. I can't share anymore because no.
Well, then, on that note, Jarvis, if you would, please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope. Time to go dark.
You know, I just have this really mental image of a big green gamma irradiated banjo.
You know, I think it's the hillbilly hulks that caused the audio problems on my side earlier tonight.
Well, you do. I can't even believe I'm about to share this. But, you know, in one of the World War Hulk stories, Hulk, Banner Hulk, does end up hooking up with Jennifer Walters, his cousin. Just saying.
You know, I ain't going there.
That's just wrong.
Gonna need a bigger double wide.
Something ain't right with that boy.
Oh.
It's just something ain't right with that boy.
Mm-mm.
I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. Dadgum!